is God's word. Come on, you got to sound better than that. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that heaven and earth is going to pass away, but your word will never pass away. Thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And because you do, we can with confidence expect for all the promises of God in Christ Jesus to come to pass in our life. So as I minister to these couples, Lord, I thank you for a refreshing, for a renewal, for a revitalization in their relationships, God, that they couldn't do on their own. We have to have your help. And so I thank you for kickstarting marriages that may have been in neutral. I thank you for pushing marriage forward who may have been going backwards. And most of all, I thank you for faith to not just stay married, but Father, to have a vibrant, exciting marriage where our lights are shining so people will wonder, where in the world do you go to church? Who in the world is in your life? And we can tell them, it's Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for everybody that don't have on a Cowboys jersey. I'm just playing. You may be seated. I'm praying for you though. One of my security guys have on a Steelers. Yeah. I almost didn't let him cover me today. One of my aides got on the Detroit Lions. No, no, no. Wrong reaction. All right, well, let me see here. It looks like I pulled up the wrong notes again. But y'all just... Oh, you know what I wanted to do too? Who has an anniversary today? If your wedding anniversary is today, would you stand up if your wedding anniversary is today? If it's today? Anybody? I can't see. Nobody wedding anniversary today? Okay. I was counting on somebody's being today. Okay, let me figure out a different way that I can do this. Oh, man. Well, I guess it's not meant to be. Yeah, what I was going to do was provide whatever couple was anniversary today, I was going to give you all some Dallas Cowboy tickets to a game. Oh, so now y'all want to lie. Y'all want to lie. The name of this church is Word of Truth Family Church. Okay. So now since I told you, it's too late. Too late. Okay. So since that didn't work, maybe it'll work with the singles. No, they're not married. I'll figure out a way. So anyway, we've been in a teaching series entitled Let's Fight. Everybody say Let's Fight. Let's Fight. And so for the whole month of September, if you're just joining us today, we've divided our church into relationship status. And so our 9 o'clock service, which is right now, has been designed to minister to married couples. And our 11 o'clock service is designed for singles. So if you're here today and you're single and you didn't know, just hang tight. In fact, sit in here. I believe you'll learn something. And then you can stay over for the 11 o'clock service. Now, today is our last message, which I believe will be the glue for all the previous messages that we've done. So if you're taking notes or if you need a copy of today's notes, just raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy. That way you can go home and do your own Bible study. But the message title today is Fight to be Fully Committed. Fight to be fully committed. And it is a fight because the world already tells us and shows us that only 50% of them are going to fight for their relationship. But that same statistic applies also in the church. And so that's why today I'm talking about fight to be fully committed. And the purpose of today's message is to challenge couples to have a marriage that reflects God's perspective of what I'm going to call a biblical marriage and how it should look and what it should be. So we're going to start out before we jump right into the message today. I want to start out by doing a relationship commitment checkup. So if your spouse is here, look at them and say, it's time for a checkup. Yes, this is a relationship commitment checkup. So here, I want you to ask yourself the question. Don't ask your spouse, but I want you to ask yourself the question, are you a chicken or are you a pig in your marriage? I'm going to ask the question again. In your marriage, are you a chicken or are you a pig? Now look at your spouse and just ask him, are you a chicken? Don't do it. Are you a chicken or are you a pig? It reminds me of a story of a farmer. This guy decided to cook some breakfast. So one morning he got up, he went to his barn to gather the meal because he had all the animals there that he wanted to eat. And so he saw one of his chickens and he explained to the chicken that he wanted some breakfast that morning and if the chicken would help him. So the chicken, being a little fearful after hearing the request, asked a follow-up question. He asked the farmer, well, are you wanting wings or eggs? Because wings would require his life. Eggs would require sacrifice. And so the farmer said, I just want some scrambled eggs. So the chicken, being relieved, sat down and gave him a couple of eggs. And then the farmer went to Mr. Pig. He explained to the pig that he was fixing breakfast and he wanted some ham and some bacon. And he asked the pig, would he help him? And although the pig knew that it would cost his life, he was fully committed to providing that farmer with some bacon and ham for breakfast. So let me ask the question one more time. In your marriage, are you a chicken or are you a pig? See, chickens are committed, but pigs are fully committed. Oh, you're committed up to a point until it's going to cost you something. Uh-huh. See, when they have to now use some of what you call your money, which, by the way, when you're married, it's not your money, it's y'all's money. Chickens will lay down an egg or two, little sacrifice, but they won't lay their life down. And that's what a pig does. And see, there are many people who are married today, and there are many people married in America that they're committed, but they're not fully committed. So when the difficult times come in life, your marriage will only last to the degree of what your marital commitment status is. So now I want you to look at your spouse and ask him, are you a chicken or a pig? Look at him and say, oink, oink. So when most people get married, it's mostly due to what the person can do for them and not what they can do for the person. In fact, most of the time, people who get married, their commitment to their marriage is based on the other person's commitment to them. In other words, if you'll be committed, I'll be committed. If you'll sacrifice, I'll sacrifice. But when a biblical marriage takes place, watch this, It's based on God's perspective and God's purpose of what a marriage is, which brings us to our first point if you're taking notes. And that is, marital commitment is a covenant, not a contract. I'm going to say that again. Marital commitment is a covenant, not a contract. Everybody say, marital commitment is a covenant and not a contract. So we're going to look at Malachi chapter 2. And the book of Malachi mostly is really written to the priests. Now, the context of this is God talking to these priests, and he's talking to them about the affairs and the state of their marriage. Because in biblical days, it was fine for priests to get married. As a matter of fact, remember Eli, he was the priest in the Old Testament that raised Samuel. He had two sons. Well, how did he have two sons? Because he was married. Remember John the Baptist? His dad was Zechariah. Well, Zechariah was a priest. Elizabeth was his wife. They ended up having a son, John the Baptist. So in biblical days, it was fine for a priest to get married. And that's really how it should be today. No shade on the Catholic Church, but there shouldn't be a requirement for a man to not be married. I believe that's one of the reasons the Catholic Church is having all these issues. Amen. So let's read Malachi chapter 2. I'm reading out of the ESV version. I believe you're going to learn something today. It says, and this second thing you do, this was God talking to the priest again. He says, you cover the Lord's altar with tears. You cover the Lord's altar with weeping and groaning because he's no longer regarding or accepting your offerings with favor from your hand. And so they said to him, well, why don't you accept them, Lord? He says, because the Lord was what? Witness. So I want you to pay attention to that, because that's going to help us see that one thing about a marriage is that's one of the things that the Lord is a witness of. He says, because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and though she is your wife, by what, church? By what? By covenant. He said, listen, I have witnessed between you and your wife. And by the way, not only is she your companion, but she is your wife by covenant. Verse 15 says, did he not make them one with the portion of the Spirit in their union? And if you keep reading that, it talks about God's perspective on marriage. But there are two things I want you to notice very quickly. The first thing is, it says that the Lord was a witness to them being joined together. He was a witness. But also number two is that marriage itself to God is viewed as a covenant. Everybody say covenant. Now, contracts are normally written between two individuals or more. But in the case of marriage, sometimes people view it as a contract. And so contracts are typically between two parties, and each party promises to perform certain duties or actions. And see, these duties or actions and this contract is conditional and can be broken because it depends on if one of the parties violated. If they do, then the contract can be broken. Now, here's the thing. Covenants are different from contracts. Everybody say covenants. Are different than contracts. See, covenants from a biblical sense is a binding promise, listen, that's between God and man or between humans under the witness of God. I'm going to say that again. Covenants from a biblical sense is a binding promise, listen, between God and man or between two humans that's being witnessed by God. Now, that's where marriage comes in at, because God views marriage as a covenant. Say covenant. He views marriage as a covenant. And not only is marriage something that God established, but he also is something that he witnesses. And so what we're going to do is read about God's perspective regarding marriage. So what I like to do is always go back to the beginning of things so we can see the foundation of how God views something. So marriage is mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 19. And I'm reading out of the King James Version this morning. Verse 3, it says, the Pharisees also came to him. And they came to him tempting him. And they said to Jesus, is it lawful, or let's use the word legal, is it legal for a man to put away his wife for any cause? She burnt my toast. I want a divorce. That's what they were asking him. For every cause. So look in verse 4. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that he who is God, which made them at the beginning, at what church? At the beginning, how did he make them? Male and female. So that cancels out same-sex marriage from God's perspective. You can say you got married, but you didn't get married under God. You got married under the world system. And verse 5 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and leave his mother and shall cleave to who? Cleave to his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. Now watch verse 6, because this is where this covenant piece comes in at. It says, what therefore God has joined how? Joined together. He says, let no man put asunder. Notice that God views marriage as something that he put together. Now, there are two types of covenants in the Bible that are primary. Meaning there may be other ones, but I'm just talking about two major primary covenants in the Bible. I'm going to call the first one regular covenants. Everybody say regular covenants. Now, regular covenants in the Bible were serious, but they did not include the shedding of blood. One example of that would be the covenant that God made for the rainbow. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 9, verse 12 real quick. And I want to show you this because these two types of covenant can show up in a marriage. Now, in this case, we're talking about a covenant that did not involve or include the shedding of blood. So it says now in Genesis chapter 9, verse 12, and God said, this is the covenant, or this is the token. And that word token can be viewed as the word sign. This is a token or sign of the what, church? Of the covenant which I will make. Listen to what he says now. This covenant that he said he will make between him, you, and he was talking to Noah, every living creature that is with you, and then for perpetual generations. So this covenant didn't just include Noah or the people that were with Noah. It also includes every living creature and then any perpetual generation after that, which includes us. So he says in verse 13, here's what I'm going to do about this covenant. I do set my bow. Now he's talking about a rainbow, so that's the word I'm going to use. He says, I do set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign or a token of a covenant, say covenant, of a covenant between me and the earth. Notice now it does not involve blood. Watch verse 14. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And then what's going to happen, he says, I will remember my what, church? He says, I will remember my covenant when I see that rainbow. And this covenant is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And then he says, this covenant includes the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. Now, let me just say this. If you're riding in the car with your kids and they point out a rainbow, hey, mom, there's a rainbow. Hey, dad, there's a rainbow. Take that opportunity to educate them on why the rainbow even exists. They need to know, hey, the reason you see that rainbow is that God made a covenant with us and the earth that he would never destroy the earth with water no more. So use that time to educate them. Now, everybody say regular covenants. Regular covenants did not include the shedding of what? Blood. Okay, so now we're going to talk about blood covenants. And blood covenants in the Bible were taken very seriously. Why? Because someone or something had to die. And that's why the shedding of Jesus' blood is so powerful. Because when Jesus shed his blood as a covenant, watch this, it established an eternal covenant between God and the salvation of man. Now you may be thinking, well, what does the blood covenant have to do with marriage? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Because see, we read earlier that God viewed marriage as covenant. Remember, we read that, right? Okay, so the question is, which type of covenant does God view marriage through? Well, God originally viewed marriage through the blood covenant. In other words, his lens, when God sees marriage, he sees marriage through a blood covenant. You say, well, Pastor, how is that? Well, because the original state of marriage included the shedding of blood. Now, you can write this down for reference sake. I don't know if it's in your notes. But Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 13 through 21, this talks about when a woman is a virgin and the proof of her virginity was in, watch this now, in the results or the shedding of the blood on her honeymoon. See, what you don't understand is when a man was wanted to marry another man's daughter, in those days, they had to pay for that. The Bible calls it a dowry, right? And so this dowry was different depending on, you know, the status of the family. It depends on all that stuff. But he had to pay a dowry. And one of the things that the father of the bride guaranteed was that his daughter was a virgin. He said, well, how can that be proven? Well, on the honeymoon night, what you may not realize is there's this thing called a hymen, and I'm not going to get deep, but you ought to know what that is. And if not, go look it up when you get home. Every woman has a hymen, okay? And on that honeymoon day, when that hymen was torn through intercourse, it produced blood. The blood came on the sheets. Guess what? The sheets were given to the father. So if that man decided to try to shame his wife and say, oh, she wasn't a virgin when I met her, the dad can say, oh, no, we got proof right here, brother. So the tearing of her hymen not only proved that she was a virgin, but listen, but it also marked the day that the blood covenant of marriage took place. And that's why marriage is viewed by God so seriously, because his original intent for marriage is that it was a blood covenant. Everybody say marriage is a covenant and not a contract. Amen. And see, some of you all are going, woo, I can get out of this one because she wasn't a virgin when I got married. Well, I hate to tell you this, but you wasn't either. Okay. But let's just say it wasn't a blood covenant. You have to remember, a regular covenant was defined as God making a covenant with man, but also man making a covenant with man by God witnessing it. And anytime somebody gets married, God says, whom God's joined together, let no man pull apart. So it doesn't matter if it's a blood covenant or if it's a regular covenant. God sees marriage as covenant. Give the Lord a hand clap for that right there. You are following me so far. Okay, so he takes it very seriously, which brings us to point number two, which is marital commitment starts with God, not my spouse. I'm going to say that again. Marital commitment starts with God and not my spouse. In fact, there's an article on the internet. You can look it up. It was about a couple who had been married for 86 years. I know the husband passed away, but even to this day, no one has broken that record. They were married for 86 years. And so they were being interviewed, and the interviewer asked this couple, what was the one thing that they had in common that transcends everything else? Listen to what this couple said. They said, we're both Christians. We both believe in God, but listen to this. They said, marriage is a commitment to the Lord. And see, I believe one of the biggest problems in most marriages today is that they lack biblical commitment. Everybody say biblical commitment. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor Evan, what is biblical commitment? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you. Biblical commitment, listen, is not the commitment to the person you married to first. Biblical commitment is the person's commitment to the Lord first. And see, if you don't get that straight, your perspective of marriage will be off and you feel like you can do what you want to do. I'm not happy. I'm out. She burnt my toast. I'm out. She don't want to have any more kids. I'm out. That's a struggle for somebody in the room today. One of y'all want another one and the other one don't. Well, when we got married, Pastor, I'm in somebody's business right now. And no, she did not tell me, man of God, your business. But God is telling your business right here. But Pastor, when she got married, she was like, well, I can have four. I'm good with four. Well, now she had three and she said, I'm tired. I don't want no more. Anyway, let's read the scripture. I'm talking to somebody right now. I promise you, I know I'd be talking to somebody. So listen to 2 Corinthians 8, because your commitment, your marital commitment and covenant has to be to God first and then your spouse second. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I'm only reading this for context purposes to get our point, but let's read. He says, and Paul says to the Corinthians church, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches that are in Macedonia. He said the churches in Macedonia, they're being tested by many troubles and they are very poor. He didn't say they were poor. He said they are very poor. He said, but they are also filled with abundant joy. Stop right there. Let me just put this in there. You can have an abundant joy even though your change might be strange and your money might be funny. Listen, your joy should not be dependent on the balance of your checking account. That was free. He said, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed, watch this, to rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but they gave far more. They did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege or opportunity of sharing in the gift or in giving for the believers in Jerusalem. Here's verse 5, the point, the verse I want you to see. He said, they even did more than we hoped. For their first action, everybody say their first action. In other words, the first thing they did is that they gave themselves to who, church? They gave themselves to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted them to. Look at now the ESV version of that verse. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first. They gave themselves what? Here's the principle. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So a successful marriage does not start with how much you love the person and how much you love each person. A successful person or marriage is one that starts with how much love and how much commitment you have towards God first. So here's a take home statement. It is impossible to be committed to flesh before you are first committed to the Spirit. Let me say that in everyday terms. It's impossible for you to stay committed to somebody in the flesh when you can't maintain your commitment to the Spirit. See, now that keeps you from talking about the D word. Because see, some of you, as long as divorce is an option, you will always have an out. You got to take it off the table. You got to remove it from your language. You got to remove it from your house. No, it's not going to happen. Well, I'll stay with him, but. See, you need to get your butt out the way. That's what you need to do. They're going to edit that. Praise the Lord. But it's impossible to be committed to flesh before you're first committed to the Spirit. See, God had a relationship with Adam before he gave Adam a wife. In other words, Adam had a spiritual relationship with God before that same God provided him with a wife. So God's model for marriage from the beginning, it actually started with man having a relationship with him, and then his relationship with his spouse. So here's another take home thought for the week. God, when God is first, everybody say when God is first. When God is first, the marital relationship will last. When God is not first, the marital relationship may not last. Now I say may not because we got folks that have been married for years that's not even saved. And their love for each other has sustained the relationship. How much more should we, as the body of Christ, as believers in Jesus Christ, as sons and daughters of God, you mean to tell me you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and that Holy Ghost in you can't keep you committed? Everybody say, God has to be first. Then my spouse. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but he wakes up in vain. Until both people in a marriage decides to honor God and his ways first, it's going to be difficult for them to properly honor each other. See, it's that personal relationship with God that helps a person be sensitive to their spouse, which now leads us to our last point, and that is point number 3, which is marital commitment requires sacrifice and selflessness. Wow. Marital commitment requires sacrifice and selflessness. Here's the sad thing. We know, as couples, we know how to sacrifice and we know how to be selfless because we do it regularly with our kids. You will feed your kids before you eat. You will make sure they have clothes even though you haven't shopped in 25 years. But see, the sad thing is, the relationship that counts the most is the one where we sacrifice and we are selfless the least. Jesus did not come here to show us how to be served. He came here to show us what serving looks like. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life. That's sacrifice right there. Give his life as a ransom for many. So here's the question that I have as we get ready to do our vows. Has your attitude towards your marriage become one of selfishness? Because that's the problem. We have a Shaka Khan attitude. What you gonna do for me? What you gonna do for me? What you gonna do for me? Y'all don't know the song? Look, some of y'all older than me. I know you know that song. Do you only sacrifice for your kids, for your job, and maybe even for the Lord? But here's the question, do you live a life of sacrifice for your spouse? And I believe that's what God's trying to do. A fully committed relationship means that I'm fully committed to the Lord first. And then I'll be committed to you. Let me tell you something. If I keep my relationship with the Lord right, my relationship with Sharice is going to be right. See, some of y'all think Jesus died on a pole. How did he do that? Why did he do that? No, no, no. See, a pole is straight up and down. Oh, as long as I got a relationship with God, I'm good. No, no, Jesus died on the cross. That means you gotta have some horizontal relationships that are working out too. How you gonna say you love God who you don't see, but you can't love people who you can't see? I can back the pole up with a scripture. Okay, so stand up. I don't wanna make y'all mad before we do the vows. Okay, so baby, will you come up here and join me? So here's what we're gonna do. I want you to join hands if your spouse is here. If your spouse is not here, that's fine. Just keep looking forward. Now, Because these vows are long, let me tell you why the vows are kind of long. We took all the lessons that I've taught y'all over the last 4 weeks, and all of the vows include the principles in all of those lessons. That's why. Now, we're giving it to you in a digital format so you can continue to say them, but you can remember what you vowed to. Say amen to that. Okay, so they're going to put it on the screen. Can they put it on the screen? Can they? Okay, there we go. All right. I wonder, can they put the whole thing up there? No? Okay, we'll just put what they read. Okay, so you are ready. So hold your spouse's hand, and I really wanted you to look them in the eye, but you can't. Because we're going to all read it together. Now, if I say repeat it after me, y'all could do that, but it's going to take us forever, and we're not going to do that. Okay, so y'all ready? All right, let's read together. Today, as we stand before God, each other, and our brothers and sisters in Christ, we vow to walk this journey as one. We vow to love, honor, and cherish each other, not as opponents, but as partners united by God's design. We commit to fight for our marriage with grace, humility, and faith, knowing that our greatest strength is in our unity. We promise to resist the real enemy, recognizing that our battle is not against each other, but against anything that seeks to divide us. With hearts rooted in love and grace, we will speak words of life and encouragement, even in moments of struggle. We vow to let the Holy Spirit guide our actions, resisting the temptations of anger, bitterness, and pride, and choosing instead forgiveness, patience, and unconditional love. Together, we strive to reflect God's love, walking in the Spirit, and seeking peace in our home. We will forgive as we have been forgiven, and we will fight for our unity, because in unity is where God commands His blessings. We commit to always listen with grace, communicate with love, and seek mutual understanding. We vow to put each other's needs before our own, and serve one another with joy. As we face life challenges, we vow to stand side by side, trusting that God's plan for us is greater than anything we could ever imagine.
I forgive
least anything that has been done that has caused pain or problems in our marriage. We declare that in every season, through every trial and triumph, we will walk in faith, hand in hand, fighting for the gift of our marriage and honoring the sacred covenant we make today. In Jesus' name, amen. And so you may kiss the bride. Thank you, baby. I love you. Okay, so let's pray. Oh, wait a minute. They were supposed to be playing a song. Y'all want to play a song? Just a little snippet. And she's talking about dance with your wife. Okay, so. I am an unwilling participant, but. Okay, so listen, church, listen. Listen.
I found love in you.
Who is that, John Lennon?
And I've learned to love.
I messed the song up and everything. Okay, cut the song off. Y'all can dance at home because we out of time. But I want you to leave today with next level commitment. I know marriage can be a challenge, but it's also rewarding. And if you put the work in, you'll get the rewards out. I'm going to say that again. If you put the work in, you will get the rewards out. So Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for every couple that's represented here at Word of Truth Family Church, and even those who are watching right now. And Lord, I pray that they just won't have a regular marriage, but Father, their marriage will be so full of joy and bliss and excitement and stability and love that Father, those who come across their path will want to have what they have. And so Lord, I thank you today. All the problems and issues that were in the past, all the rocks that they've been throwing, today they will drop the rocks and they will pick up love so that, Father, they can communicate with grace In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Would you do that this morning? Thank you, baby. So, if you're here today, don't move. If you're here today and you died, my question to you is,